Let's go right now with a Connecticut critic. She's a theater critic for WMNR, Fine Arts Radio. She's also written theater reviews about from Connecticut for Total Theater, which is a little website I know something about, TotalTheater.com. Check it out.
How do you know that one?
I'll tell a little later in the show. Okay. And she's also a voting member of the Outer Critic Circle, from which the aforementioned Simon Saltzman is the president. Her name is Rosalind Friedman, and she sees pretty much all the shows on Broadway, and she's going to weigh in on a couple of categories, too. Roz, are you with us?
I'm delighted to be with you here tonight. I don't know Jeff, but I'm glad to meet him, too.
Roz, we're old friends. Who are we kidding?
You probably recognize... I know you've seen him, but maybe not just known...
I'm literally around.
And Roz,
I just want to add that I'm a new member of the executive board and the nominating committee for Outer Critics.
Congratulations.
I've always seen all the plays, but now I've seen them in depth because I don't only see them once. I've been invited to see them twice.
Nice.
Yes, I have to be cloned to do all of this, but it's been a very exciting year.
Well, especially
so you had to sit through Color Purple twice?
Excuse me, no, I did not see the Color Purple. I thought once was quite enough. But I did see The Drowsy Chaperone twice.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
And I became obsessed.
Oh.
But we'll get into that in a few minutes.
Yeah, let's do our categories first, and then if there's a little time left over, we'll talk about some of the overall bigger sui generis stuff. Book of a Musical. We've got The Color Purple, written by Marcia Norman, The Drowsy Chaperone by Bob Martin and Don McKellar, Jersey Boys by Marshall Brickman and Rick Elise, and The Wedding Singer, kind of thrown in there at the end, from Chad Begelin and Tim Herlihy. So, Roz, your thoughts on Book of a Musical?
Well, you know, the Book of the Musical is the spine of the show, and I have heard some of the writers speak about how important the book is, and I think this year is very interesting because Marcia Norman, who was a wonderful writer, really had to deal with a very difficult subject matter in The Color Purple, and I don't think it was terribly successful as some of the other shows were.
What's missing? Why doesn't The Color Purple, I mean, I think I'm speaking for all three of us, that it just doesn't quite lift off. What's missing?
Because it's not true to the book.
It's not true to the book, but it's also too much.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of compacting some of this and also giving it more of a black and white flavor. I don't mean black in the sense of black. I mean black and white in the sense that the movie was much more grim. And this is much more cheerful. It's like, oh, how, let's sing and dance about all
right,
this terrible
been beating
stuff.
Me. Let's sing.
Well, I think they were afraid to make the first act so dark. So every time that someone would get beaten or thrown around or insulted, they'd have a happy number so that the audience wouldn't sit there and go, oh, God,
those
why haven't we seen
women,
this?
Those three women. I told you you'd do it. I told you.
Exactly. But
okay.
There was an energy to the production, and the audience that I was in enjoyed it tremendously. You know, there were positives about it, certainly, and some wonderful performances. Unfortunately, LaShance, who was one of my favorite actresses, was just swamped in this show, don't you think?
I felt that, too. I mean, I thought the actresses came through, but not enough to, like, make us care.
You know what it was? There was just too much subject matter, and then they added in that little Lion King moment in the beginning of Act Two.
Yes.
I mean, which was totally unnecessary.
Yeah, and they should have saved it for Tarzan, you know? But but then, obviously the horse race in this is between Drowsy Chaperone and Jersey Boys. Where do you fall on that, Roz?
Well, it's very interesting. I really thought Jersey Boys, and I still think it's an excellent show, and Rick Elise spoke at our Outer Critics ceremonies, award ceremonies. He's one of the writers, Marshall Brickman and Rick Elise, and he really talked about how they jumped from place to place in this show, but did it in an abstract way and gave credit to the set designer. But also, I think that it's certainly a cut above the jukebox musicals generally because of the story of Frankie Valli and how he rose to fame, etc. You know, there's some validity here.
But don't you think that's a big directorial? It's a lot because it's so well directed.
Oh, it's wonderfully directed.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's also John Lloyd Young at our ceremonies was just delightful. He won our Best Actor in a Musical Award, and he spoke so much about the thanks he gives to the critics from regional theater, particularly in New Jersey, where he did a lot of work before coming to Broadway. And that was close to my heart because, of course, we have regional theater here in Connecticut.
Okay.
And we give our own Connecticut
critics. So are you pulling for Jersey Boys, or do you think it'll win?
Well, I think if it wins, it certainly would not be a disappointment. I tend to feel that The Drowsy Chaperone is one of the most charming shows I have seen in many, many years.
And I love the show, too.
It's close to my heart.
Really sweet. The Jersey Boys book is pretty fabulous. That's what makes it, aside from the direction, really special. Let's go on to original score, music and or lyrics, specifically for the theater. The Color Purple by Brenda Russell, Aline Willis, and Stephen Bray. The Drowsy Chaperone, Lisa Lambert and Greg Morrison. The Wedding Singer, Matthew Sklar and Chad Begalen. I'm probably mispronouncing his name. And The Woman in White, Andrew Lloyd Webber and David Zippel. Gotta give them, you know, at least a score thing for that show, which wasn't so bad. But Roz...
And it wasn't that good.
Roz, your thoughts on score?
Well, I think the star of The Woman in White was the lighting and the set design. You know, that was pretty spectacular, even though there were people getting sick in the audience every night. And, you know, that is a fact. The people actually became ill because of the motion.
I did, too. It got me very dizzy.
Uh-huh, there you go. And there were people that had to leave the theater. I mean,
wow.
There were women in the ladies' room over the sink. I loved it, but I mean, I could see where that would have been a problem if you're having any kind of
inner ear
problem.
Did you love the musical or the look of it, the projections? I'm not clear what.
I love the projections. I thought they were wonderful, and I sort of enjoyed The Woman in White. I didn't think it was as bad as some did.
Me neither.
I mean, I think the reviews were a little bit
so
heavy. I mean, I think they were out to get Andrew Lloyd Webber. That was my personal opinion.
I thought they got him on that Jeeves show. Well, anyway, and not to mention what
was
Aspects of Love. No, oh, God, Jesus, I slept through that.
What a
bore. I'm just saying that I slept through Jeeves. But your thought, again, what would you say they're going to pick, and what would you pick for score?
Well, I hope that they pick The Drowsy Chaperone. I picked The Drowsy Chaperone.
Yeah,
I had a nice interview with Lisa Lambert and Greg Morrison, who have worked on this since 1998.
Wow.
And I guess they've written the equivalent of 3 or 4 scores, taking songs in and, you know, putting them out, et cetera. It's really a very difficult project to write a score and to live with the show for a long time, to find the right song. This show just seems to do it for me.
Jeff, you agree?
I agree, but just because of its total originality. The whole show is original.
Exactly.
And nothing else. It's not based on anything, and they had to just make up the story, make up the songs. It's actually a Broadway musical.
Yes, and I think that is so refreshing. Of course, Bob Martin is absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, he co-wrote the book, and he stars in it as the man in the chair.
Yes, and he just does just a marvelous job.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, The Drowsy Chaperone would certainly be the...
The
Wedding Singer was kind of a surprise.
I thought it
had some charm to it.
I think everyone expected it to be really bad and would go, hey, this isn't too bad. It's not as bad as we thought.
Well, I think for what it is, it does well.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed The Wedding Singer. And I hear a lot of people are getting proposed to on stage.
Oh, isn't that fun?
They are at the curtain call.
I guess they're doing that now instead of saying, I love you, you're perfect, now change. That's been the reigning champion of that. Okay, we got to get
to that, by the way, started in Connecticut.
Oh, cool. Wait.
And I love to say that title.
Okay, yeah, I love you. Go ahead, say it. Say it one time.
Go ahead, Roz.
I love you. You're perfect. Now change.
Well, thank you, Roz, but we need to move on to the next category.
Sure.
Revival of a play. Awake and Sing, the Clifford Odets drama. The Constant Wife, the Somerset Maugham comedy. Edward Albee's Seascape, excuse me. The Edward Albee something. And Faith Healer, Brian Friel. Roz?
Okay. I have to admit, I did not see The Constant Wife, which I understand was wonderful. But I was not available.
Who'd you understand that from, Roz?
It was all right. It
well,
wasn't wonderful.
Many people really loved that show.
Really?
One of the nice things about it. But an Edward Albee Seascape, I found an excellent revival. I thought it was very well done. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the text. I'm afraid that the Faith Healer, I don't know about you guys, I fell asleep.
Wow.
I found that the monologues were very difficult. I've seen this done before, and I did not fall asleep. For some reason, Terry Jones just was not right for that part.
Yes, yes, yes. I have to say, I mean, I it makes me sad when people, you know, diss Faith Healer as a play, because I've seen it work, and it's a long play, and it's all monologues, and I would watch it, and I tell them, no, it's beautifully written. It really is a wonderful piece. And I've seen it in small, little productions. And here, there's just not enough movement, and Terry Jones isn't quite right or believable. Ian McDiarmid is fabulous, but there's something missing.
He really lit up the stage, and I wasn't familiar with his work, and I thought it was excellent.
So, Jeff, what's your revival pick?
I happen to have loved Seascape also.
I think it's a
great show. I thought it was a brilliant revival. I thought it was well-directed. I thought the sets and costumes were perfect.
I'm going to give it to Awake and Sing.
Awake and Sing is my choice.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get to that point because I was working my way through the other shows.
Working my way through okay, sorry. Go ahead. Well, yeah, tell us a little more about why Awake and Sing.
Well, you know, my husband and I knew Morris Karnofsky. We met him here in Connecticut when he was at the American Shakespeare Theater in Stratford, and he was playing the leads, and we got to know him and his wonderful wife, who passed away last year. That's Phoebe Brand. They were the original members of the company for the group theater. And they knew all about Clifford Odets, and they told us story after story about all the people and how this group came together, and Harold Clurman. And so it seemed very live to us. And there's a lake in here in Trumbull where I live, and it's called Pinewood Lake. In those days it was called Pine something else. But anyway, the group theater came for a summer there and stayed in little cottages around the lake. And they had a theater, and the theater is still there. It's not really used at the clubhouse, but there's a theater in the clubhouse.
Okay.
And the actors all got together and did their stage exercises there, their theater exercises. So this play is very close to my heart.
Well, that's not quite fair to the other play. I mean, if you're letting
I had a really good experience with lizards. That's why I like Seascape.
Okay. I go on to
I had
say
a pet
that
lizard
when I went
so
to see the play, when I went to see this play, Awake and Sing, I felt that it was done with great authenticity.
Ooh.
It's a meaty play. You feel like you're seeing a complete family. Every actor was excellent, and it was wonderful. The direction was very interesting. I must admit, I saw this in preview, and when the stage set began to lift, I thought it was a mistake. I thought there might be something wrong with the set.
We were talking about that before.
Until I realized what Bartlett Chair was trying to do here.
And did it work for you when you realized that?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
Yes,
cool. Okay, Roz, I'm afraid we've got to move on to some other stuff, but I want to just tell people when they can hear you on WMNR Radio.
Oh, thank you. I'm on Tuesday and Thursday at 5:55 p.m., and Saturday and Sundays at noon.
Great. And good luck with your executorship. What was it for the Outer Critics Circle? Forgive me for not...
Board.
Yeah.
And, which is also the nominating committee. So we have done our work this year. We are already beginning the new season. Of course, new plays are opening every day.
Of course.
So are you nominating Tarzan or no?
That's right.
Well, that's the next year.
Right,
that's
exactly.
The next year.
Okay, Roz, great to talk to you. Thank you so much for being part of the GBB Tony special.
Thank you very much.
You got it.
Nice to speak to both of you.
Thank you, Roz. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.